got pipe bumps. You do a search for geolocation, but you say, but don't look at law enforcement. Well, law enforcement's obviously not involved. We can cut that out, but why would tell? And you got Congress all over this. I don't just say things lightly. There's no way they get out of this. This isn't going away. This is totally insane. And more is coming out every day, no matter what they do. And the big takeaway is Bongino and Kash Patel have been all over covering this up. Very sad. I want to get closing comments from Kyle Serafin, batting 1,000 FBI whistleblower, and then Joseph McBride, who's the first person to get the unedited videos out inside the Capitol to prove what was really going on. So two real heroes here that are going up against the system. Closing comments on this, putting bookends on it, Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, sure. People just have to ask themselves a real simple question. Do you think that two guys got out of their car, walked 0.7 miles directly to the only bush they were going to look at without having any foreknowledge, and it just happened to be the same bush that the person was wearing a hood?
Hundreds of bushes.
Oh, yeah. And 17 hours earlier, the pipe bomber sat there for a minute and a half and was fiddling underneath it. And then they went directly to the threat and they found it in under 12 minutes. You got to ask yourself that question. For those of you who are wondering what the time frame was, there was 20 minutes between the first pipe bomb being found at the RNC and these guys finding the second. There was not enough time to go through footage or scrub around. They didn't even know where to look. They didn't know that there was going to be another pipe bomb.
Well, that was my question. Did they have geolocation? Because out in the dark, how do they in this huge park area, like bloodhounds go? They're not bloodhounds. How do they go right to it? Is that geolocation or how they...
Yeah. I don't know. That's providence. That's God hand guiding them. And then let me add the second piece of that, which is also really interesting, I think, which is to say, why did they stop? How did they know there was not going to be a third pipe bomb? How come no one's ever worried about another pipe bomb being dropped in Washington, D.C.? How come it's all over? We knew it was over
when
on January 6th.
When you find two pipe bombs, you seal the whole area. Oh, I didn't think of that.
Why did they not keep looking for more? Why was that good enough at that point in time? So if that works for you, you know, we got property to sell you. It's beachfront. It's the middle of Omaha, Nebraska. I think you'll love it. It just doesn't make any bit of sense. So as people consider this, the lie is ongoing. And when you guys find out what the person who found that bomb does for a living now, you're going to be thrilled. It's not my story to tell, but it's coming too. And it's equally good. It's not the CIA.
So is it her? Is it the boyfriend? Or she is CIA, right? Well,
the guy who actually found the bomb, the counter-surveillance unit, who is not spoken. By the way, they were not allowed to speak to Loudermilk or to Tom Massey. They were not deposed by Congress for a transcribed interview. They were kept away by Capitol Police. When you find out what that guy does now, I think you guys are going to be psyched. That's coming up pretty soon. So just stand by for that.
I hear he's about to drop another report. How do people find you, Kyle Serafin?
At Kyle Serafin on X, real easy. KyleSerafinShow.com if you want to listen to the podcast.
All right, thank you. Incredible. Joseph McBride, closing comments. Thank you so much, sir.
They never wanted this information to come out. Early on, when I was first making this stuff explode all over the place with regard to changing the narrative, I got a phone call when I was leaving my office on the east side of Manhattan and an invitation to go out to lunch. And on the end of the phone was Alexandra Pelosi. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. She's like, just come, just meet with me. She gave me an address to meet her. I met her there. And the first thing she said, she goes, look, AOC used to bartend here. So we had a conversation and she was, look, I think that your guys are not necessarily who they're saying to be, but maybe you should reconsider this and maybe you should not do that. And, you know, she was drinking tequila and when I used to drink that, I don't drink anymore. And we were sitting there at the table. We had a good time. And then I just looked at her and she goes, do you really want to go through with this? And I said, I'm going to crucify your mother for what she did. And then at the end of that situation, I actually had her FaceTime Richard Barnett, who had his feet up on her mother's desk. And when Richard picked up the phone, he had his feet up on his desk at home. And he goes, hey, how you doing? I'm Uncle Big O. And they had this long conversation. We hung up the phone. I said, you see, those guys aren't that bad. And she said, do you really want to do this? And I said, actually, I do. And we've been fighting the good fight ever since. They never thought this was going to come out. And they're still dealing with it till this day. No retreat, no surrender. Keep marching forward. The truth will have its day.
Victory or death, and I bet money if you'd have played ball, she'd say we got a stock tip for you.
Oh, yeah, I bet so.
I love you, man. I love people who won't sell out. Joseph McBride.
Love you too, brother.
I love you, New York City. God bless you, brother. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
See ya.
This is amazing, folks. This is so powerful. Just so you know, I don't hype stuff. This is coffin nails at globalists. This will bring them all down. Let's just keep pushing it. We'll be right back. Go to to thealexshowstore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order, on top of all the other discounts that are there, gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, Ultramethylene Blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade, formula, bovine colostrum, the best, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, coming up in 54 minutes, the War Room with Harrison Smith knocking it out of the park. Not a sunshine patriot, but a winter soldier. Remember, the ball only moves down the field when you spread the word about the broadcast, share the clip, share the articles, all of it. That's not part of the victory. It's all the victory. And remember, as I hand the baton to the great Jay Dyer with Jay's analysis, with the globalists' own documents, own admissions, remember, I can't do this without you. And I'll never sell out. I'll never give in. I'll never give up, but I could give out. I'm like a horse. Those old horses they had down the coal mines that would drag up the big, you know, loads of coal. Just feed me and give me water and pat me down at night and I'll work for you because we're all in this together. Let me tell you, I'll do this from under a bridge, but I can do so much more with your support. TheAlexShowStore.com. And again, I don't own that. InfoWars doesn't own that. That's Bigley. They were just talking about the guy's ears they recognized trying to save a woman they beat to death. Nate Hughes. That's the type of guys we work with. Pardon my President Trump, J6. 4 years in prison because he wouldn't, you know, sell out. That's who we are, folks. We are in the war. We are at the tip of the spear. You know our names. You know our daddies. You know our moms. We are out. We're wearing it all on our sleeve. We're balls to the walls, 110%. You're our fellow Americans and other people around the world that love freedom. Thanks for your support. Incredible t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, other collectible items, the very best supplements, the best ultramethylene blue. We have a sale that ends Friday night at midnight. $10 off on top of all the other sales that are there at checkout. When you hit checkout, $10 off. And we've got through the app on top of that, alexjonesapp.com on Android or iPhone. It's free. Just go download it. It's the same shopping cart, 20% off on top of that. Some of these deals are lost leaders, but that's my plan. It's working because we have 80%+ reorder on the methylene blue. Oh, look at Jay Dyer's taking it right now. Look at that. There you go. The Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, all of it. We got a lot of big sales going right now. Take advantage of it at thealexshowstore.com. But whatever you do, take the live feed at Real Alex Shows right now on Rumble and at infowars.com/show and share it. I'm going to get off the air and go work on the new backup, new news sites and all the rest of the stuff we're trying to do and sponsors and stuff because my goal, when we get shut down and they got the receiver, barring a miracle, it's going to happen very soon, is I want to go 19 hours a day. I think 5 a.m. to midnight is the model. And we got it. We're ready to go, folks. And I won't be the owner, so they can't shut down. I'll be the news director. They can harass me and all the rest of it. It doesn't matter. The variable is you. I fired the bat signal. Will you support? Because we're right up to the edge of this thing. And I'm only as strong as you are. Your strength is my strength. So I humbly ask for your aid and comfort. I ask for you to bet on a horse that is completely committed to you because I'm committed to myself. We're all in this together. TheAlexShowStore.com. But whatever you do, share the live feeds right now. Relax Jones on X. Jay Dyer takes over now.
Thank you, Alex. Welcome to the fourth hour. I want to talk about the rest of the book that I covered in studio with Alex not too long ago that was a super important essential text. It's called Changing Images of Man, and it is a Stanford research produced high-level elite textbook that was normative in the 1980s, particularly came out in 1982, and is really for people studying international relations, high-level systems analysis. And the text is so revelatory that you could really just do an entire course on just this book. It's actually pretty sophisticated. It's pretty deep. And it goes into a lot of places that you wouldn't expect, especially when it comes to the planned religious engineering of the future. That is the New World Order, the elite system has to figure out how to get everybody corralled into some controlled, created religious paradigm. And that's the way that you could then sort of usher them into some sort of controlled technocratic paradigm, which we know from these dozens and dozens of texts that we've lectured through over the last 10 years here with Alex in the Fourth Hour in the last 6 years. And then prior to that on my own YouTube channel, 5-6 years prior to that. So we've been doing this for about 10 years and we've gotten through dozens of these texts. And it's pretty amazing how revelatory they actually are. They're so arrogant and so confident that nobody would really read these texts that they didn't see a problem really in sort of laying it all out. There's not necessarily one book that lays it all out, although you could argue that there's a handful of books that pretty much lay it out. There's, I think, systemic structural analysis that could be done to find the patterns and the similarities amongst these texts. And actually, it turns out a lot of this isn't even new. So what I want to start by talking about before we get to Changing Images of Man, the second half of it, is to go back again to the ancient world and to realize that a lot of these control structures had been delineated in the ancient times. You had empires, you had emperors that had figured out pretty sophisticated ways to control the population. And these techniques and these strategies, the reason that they don't change, the reason that they're still relevant is precisely because humans don't really change. I mean, we have advancements, we have, progress in some sense, but human nature doesn't really change, especially after the fall. You can count on humans to kind of act the same way. And thus their behavior is kind of predictable. Not in every single case, but in most cases it's predictable. So I think we have this attitude that everybody in the ancient world was really stupid and, you know, we're so wise and sophisticated because we have, you know, microwaves and we have refrigerators. But Plato wrote a book called The Republic many, many years ago. And in that book, he talks about not just the structure of society and how it should be organized with sort of a three-tiered, a pyramidal kind of structure. But he also talked about in a later book that there would be a council of the night, he called it. And this council of night would be like a kind of private oligarchical intelligence government. So you'd have essentially spies that would meet at night. They would be the real oligarchical control structure for the perfect society or the ideal society. And they would have inside information and they would meet secretly. And really this is because the masses can't grasp and can't understand and can't really participate at that level. For the philosopher king, for example, you had to go study geometry and high-level mathematics up on a mountain for many years, and then you could come back down and you could perhaps rule with some degree of virtue. It's interesting that they thought that the closer you were to mathematics, the closer you were to the ideal, hence you're studying math like on a mountain or something, then you were closer to the transcendent or to the divine. You could then come back and impress the mathematical, the ideal, the organized structure upon reality as the philosopher king. And only if you had cultivated some degree of the control of the passions or the control of the self. So that idea also is connected. I think it's book 4 in the Republic, which talks about, it's either 4 or 6, but it talks about the myth of the ring of Gyges. And it's the story about this magical ring that makes you invisible. And if you had this power, would you use it for vice, or would you have enough self-control that you wouldn't use it, in an ill-gotten means or gains or whatever, that you would still act virtuous even if you had this tremendous power? And then it goes on to talk about the noble lie, which is the idea that society needs to be held together, perhaps even with some religious lie or some sort of controlled narrative. And the narrative might be made up by the Philosopher King or the Council of Night or whoever. Regardless, it's a story that's told that keeps people kind of corralled and in line. Though, so the narrative can't fall or else the society might collapse. We're right now, for example, seeing a collapse in the World War II consensus and the boomer era narratives are all collapsing. And the narrative after that to collapse will be the classical liberal narrative. When that collapses, we will be looking for things like the idea of a Christian state, things like what Byzantium offered when it comes to the notion of symphonia between church and state, the idea that we could somehow battle these other cultures, these religions like Islam, which don't believe in a secular realm, that we're going to fight that with some sort of Enlightenment liberalism is just absurd, especially when we got to the point where Enlightenment liberalism has caved into postmodernism and nihilism, and people aren't having offspring. So if you're not having offspring, you're not going to beat the people that have 8 and 10 kids. Really, only traditional Christian perspectives will have the ability, just on the basis of offspring, to go into the future to actually battle against these ideologies. And we saw this week, for example, a representative out of South Carolina attacking the Orthodox Church because it has tripled in size in a lot of churches. It even made the front page of the Drudge Report today that people are flocking to the Orthodox Church. Why is this? Well, I've had, by God's grace, some role in this. And so obviously I'm going to be concerned when neocon conservative so-called congressmen are attacking and saying that the Orthodox Church is really just an extension of Russiagate and Putin's power, when the irony is that this person just met with Jelani, talking about Representative Wilson, who himself was formerly al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, et cetera, ISIS, and now is the head of Assad's toppled Syria. So the hypocrisy is not lost, I think, on the audience. And in fact, it was encouraging to see thousands of people in the comments really giving it back to this guy full force. Because it's ridiculous to say that this is the threat, this is the danger, that, you know, Russia collusion nonsense is still going on, and it's the fault of the Orthodox Church, when ironically many of these people who fled Bolshevik and communist Russia were white Russians who came to the West and had the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia set up with the aid of the CIA and British intelligence, fleeing from communists. So the idea that they're all somehow KGB, they're all Russian intelligence, is absurd. And why has where? What about Saudi Arabia, that's put, according to Max Blumenthal's book, billions of dollars into building mosques throughout the United States in the last 20 years? Where are the senators and the congressmen on that? What about Israeli penetration of our superstructure, of our government? What about Epstein and the relationship to the Mossad and Ehud Barak, which is all now public? Silence on all of that. But no, Russia is using its minority group of the Russian Orthodox Church. And the article was so bad, they didn't even know the difference between the Serbian bishop and a Russian Orthodox bishop. They thought they were the same thing. So this is not coming from people who actually, it's about the Hill article. And they're not really knowing what they're talking about. Furthermore, Zelensky has persecuted the Orthodox Church brutally in Ukraine. So this idea that that has anything to do with Putin's influence in America is all absurd. It's just neocon propaganda, and everyone has seen the hypocrisy. And at the same time, the Pope made a statement, a couple days ago, about open borders. It's time, because of fake Christian guilt, for you to have open borders in America. And tisk tis on ICE, deporting people. How mean and unchristian that is. And it was so emboldening to see just tens of thousands of comments underneath the Pope's multi-million viewed tweet, everyone giving it back to the globalist climate change open borders Pope. Everyone pointing out the giant Leonine wall. Everyone pointing out that the Vatican, according to even Catholic news sites, had recently upped its restrictions on people coming into Vatican City and migrating there or seeking any kind of asylum there. So no, there's a giant Leonine wall. It's a walled-in city-state. The Vatican Bank is the most private secret bank in the world. And the Pope also has, by the way, his own secret service. And yes, they're armed. But he lectures us, he lectures the West on having weapons for self-defense. He believes in disarmament. He believes in open borders. In fact, the documents of Vatican II and Gaudium et Spes teach chain migration, open borders, disarmament, all the things that the Vatican City State itself does the opposite of. And the great sign of hope here is, just like with Representative Wilson and all the comments calling him out for the hypocrisy here, everyone is calling out the Pope's hypocrisy in the replies. I mean, just again, I scrolled through countless thousands of comments, and I think I saw one or two backing up the nonsense from the Pope, because everyone can see the hypocrisy here. So these infiltrators and subversives that have gotten into these positions, both in church and in state, it's not accidental that they all pretty much have the same end goal philosophy, and it aligns perfectly with what we see in Changing Images of Man, which is to create this future globalist government. And it doesn't matter whether you're a AOC lib or some sort of neocon Representative Wilson, they're all pretty much on the same page at the end of the day, because they are subservient to bigger masters above them who openly want a technocratic global government. And it doesn't matter whether we talk about the atheist Gentile socialist technocrats or whether we talk about rabbinic Kabbalistic socialist Zionists. They all have the same end goal. It really doesn't matter. That's why ultimately it's not so much a specific religion as it is people committed to a overall satanic agenda. And it doesn't mean you have to be self-conscious that you're serving Satan. You don't have to commit some blood pact, in Hollywood, an underground base or something like that. Like, you could literally just be serving these designs even if you don't even know it. That's the crazy part, especially when we're rechanging Images of Man, because it gets into stuff that was talked about back in Plato's day. In fact, Plato said that, as we noted, there would have to be a lie that would told, a narrative told to hold society together. And the intelligence class, the deep state, according to Plato, they would be in charge of really holding this narrative together and making sure that society kept to this. And sometimes it's necessary to update and tweak the narrative. And so if we go back to Changing Images of Man and this idea of a future religion where we all are sort of collectivized into worshiping Mother Earth, the religion is one of immanence and pantheism. That way, it doesn't really matter what the external dressing is that you have. Maybe you're wearing the costume of being a Christian, a priest. You're wearing the costume of being a yogi. You're wearing the costume of whatever religion. In reality, the higher religion is all the religions in terms of some skeletal system of Neoplatonism, Kabbalism, or perennialism. And all of those things kind of share similarities. They're not identical, but Plato said that in the Timaeus, the whole universe is really structured like a man. It's like a body. And the mind corresponds to the monad, or the one, the God thing, the great mind that manifests itself throughout the universe. And then in some other sense, the universe itself is sort of the body of that man, right? So there's a external, internal, a spiritual, physical domain that exists. And the higher ontological or metaphysical sphere is up there towards the mind, the thought, the rational, etc. And in terms of the universe, you have the plebs, the workers. They're sort of the body. They're sort of the lower caste. And they all serve in this great hierarchy, the super state, the ideal state, and that state is kind of a manifestation of God too. So you'll notice within Platonism, the Republic is literally a kind of theocratic manifestation of the divine. So when we get to Changing Images of Man, they note that for the future religion, it is actually perennialism that will be the crucial key component for how to unify all the diverse, fractured world religions. So we'll have to have a giant ecumenist movement, not just for Christianity, but also for the world religions. They call this paradigm warfare. Traditional Christianity, Changing Images of Man notes, was too exclusivist. It said that there's objective truth, there's an external world, there's an external to you God that's personal. No, it's if you make all of reality God in terms of pantheism, then everything that exists is a manifestation of God. So the Buddhists and their religion, that's just another different manifestation of the one great God being. Remember, all of reality, it may not be the highest plane or dimension, but it's a lower plane of dimension or reality or emanation of God that still manifests God. And who are you as a Christian to say that the Buddhist manifestation of the divine isn't equal to or perhaps even greater than your manifestation of the divine? Precisely because Neoplatonism, Platonism, Originism, etc. are universalist, the universalist paradigms are much more useful than anything to do with a specific God, with a specific claim like Jesus makes in John 14:6 that, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Rather, man needs to be reintegrated into a holistic collectivist image where there are still castes and there are still hierarchies, and you're going to be blown away at what it actually admits here in a moment in terms of the possibilities of where we're going. This new dimension, this new religion, this new paradigm is specifically one constructed by social engineers. So notice it's not, you know, the 1960s counterculture revolution with LSD and with all this stuff just happening organically. I mean, there may have been a lot of people organically involved in the movement, but what happens is these movements, whether started by the system or co-opted by the system, become tools for the creation of the new paradigm. And this book is very candid about the 1960s counterculture revolution really being crucial to not just sexual revolution, but drug revolution, changing the images of man. These videos that you're seeing are perfect because through the sort of ecstatic initiatory approach, this Dionysian initiation that occurred, people will be able to dissociate, according to Huxley, and reinterpret all of reality according to new subjective existentialist paradigms. Instead of shared common ideals and beliefs, like belief in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, belief in, being an entrepreneur, creating your own business, etc., all of those Western quote-unquote ideas would be supplanted by a new drug-fueled initiatory mystical perspective that, as Changing Images of Man states, would be irrational, anti-rational. Now, that's not to say that it's therefore against technocracy necessarily. Some of the 1960s countercultural people, writers, etc., even people like Terence McKenna, they might have been critical of technocracy. But in reality, as Changing Images of Man notes, this can easily be shifted back into a pro-technocratic, pro-dystopian future. And that's unfortunately where we're going if we don't wake up and understand this. And I'm going to get to this crazy technocrat part here in a moment when we get to the latter sections of Changing Images of Man, the famous 1982 textbook for the elite. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're going to be talking about Kabbalism and the new religion of the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, our ultramethylene blue is the best medical grade there is. It's so good for your body. We have nothing but rave reviews. It is so crazy good. But even if you buy it and don't like it, which we've had out of like 500 people I've given it to, three didn't have any effect. Every person on air I've given it to absolutely loves it. And it's so good for you. Super energy, within 30 minutes, no letdown, and you even sleep better on it. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. We have the best at theolivestonestore.com. And we have all the other great products. I know Irish Sea Moss doesn't sound sexy, or Shilajit doesn't, or bovine colostrum. Whatever's the best, whatever's the highest rated, whatever absolutely delivers, that's what we sell. So take action now. The widest selection of Patriot apparel. A lot of limited edition shirts, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters are also there at thealexstore.com. And even if the globalists shut down InfoWars, which they got a state receiver trying to do right now, we're fighting in court. Whatever. We got the Alex Jones Network that's owned by Bigley that I don't own, and the AlexJonesShow.com that I don't own. I'll just be the news director there. They can't shut that down. So you're keeping us on air at the same time getting incredible products. Folks, you are missing out. I'm not a hype man. They say the best salesmen sell good products. Well, I sell the best. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order on top of all the other discounts that are there gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you will get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, Ultramethylene Blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade formula, bovine colostrum, the best, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Don't know about it? You should look into it. We got the best. Ultimate Sea Moss. Don't know about it? Look into it. We have the best. It's like 40 milligrams per serving of two gummies or the capsules. That's like a giant bowl of Irish Sea Moss. Talk about, you think spinach is good for Popeye? Well, this is like spinach to the infinity. Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. It's all there. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. So if you buy anything on the store, become a VIP. And if you're worried about stuff selling out, which stuff sometimes sells out for like 6 months. One time, sold out of the Irish Sea Moss 6 months. Because we have the highest standards, it's hard to get the ingredients. You sign up for AutoShip, they hold it back for you, and you get 50% off in the future order. You can cancel any time. So it's not much of a commitment when you become a VIP or a subscriber. You can cancel any time. You just get all the benefits. But we know it's so good when you get it, you'll reorder. We have an 80%+ reorder on the Methylene Blue. Nobody has that.
Welcome to the AlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts, perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. Power up today.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. JayAlex.com and Jay Dyer on YouTube. Be sure and follow me on YouTube and turn on the notifications. Also, you can get my new book, Esoteric Hollywood 3. I've written 1,000 pages plus now on in-depth film analysis. It also covers all of the global elite texts that you hear me discussing here on the fourth hour. They're all sort of packed into this book. And I think 3 is going to be sort of the crowning gem, the crown of the whole trilogy. Also at my website, jaysnelson.com, you get signed copies, not just of those, also my 660 pages of all of my geopolitical and philosophical writings, separate from the movie stuff. It's the red book at jasonalysis.com in the shop. All the book options at the website are signed copies. You don't have to request it to be signed. So Changing Images of Man moves to the analysis of individual personal transformation and that you could extrapolate that onto society as a whole, because kind of like Plato said, it's almost like society as a whole is a big man, a big individual, a collective individual, and there's stages to this transformation. And actually, they say in order to understand civilizational transformation, you have to read Arnold Toynbee and Carol Quigley, people that we've talked about many times over. You also need to read Thomas Kuhn and the Structures of Scientific Revolution and How Paradigms and Presuppositions Work. Also things that we've covered extensively for many, many years. But there's stages of transformation, and these stages actually can be mirrored in the macro scale. And that is expanded out from the crisis state to a period of stress, a breakdown, a kind of a death. And then you expand that into offering the new paradigm. So it's almost like they kind of understand the process of not just problem, reaction, solution, but the promotion of new narratives and paradigms that are actually crafted and concocted. And you might say, well, what do they see as new paradigms that could be utilized or could be propped up? Well, thankfully, they list for us all the great ideas that we should be looking to, like studying group dynamics, studying non-rational elements in our society, studying L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology, studying psychedelic drugs, looking to integral yoga, self-hypnosis, biofeedback, imagistic thinking over conceptual thinking. This is why we have like emojis everywhere and not people don't read anymore. That's by design. New educational models, Common Core, et cetera. And also the idea, this is actually what it says. You can read this on page 151 if you have the PDF. The promotion of set and setting so that new creative models can be developed through doing acid. Set and setting is Tim Leary stuff about what you put the setting you put yourself into to prepare for the acid trip or for the shrooms or the shamanic initiation, right? So it's actually saying that what we've learned out of MKUltra, and it literally says MKUltra stuff on the page prior to this, page 150, it talks about citing Abraham Maslow, and they're talking about LSD research. That these approaches can lead to significant changes in the individual. So in other words, not just individual psychic transformation and change. That's what the Abraham Maslow quote is about, psychic damage and change. This can then be expanded into the whole society. It's exactly what happened in the 1960s, is that everyone sort of thought they were breaking free from some control system. And perhaps in some ways they were, if they were being, you know, questioning the war, they're anti-war, whatever. But actually, they were being given a new narrative, a new story, a new paradigm that was already prepared. And it's a narrative and a paradigm prepared by the establishment. That's what's so important to understand. It's like so many people think they're being anti-establishment. And they're really just in another corralled version of the establishment, an approved, acceptable version of the establishment. In fact, they cite Joseph Campbell here in the 1960s as saying that the known God will not endure this transformation, talking about the God that the West knows, the Christian God or whatever. Rather, a new God and a new hero and a new mythology will emerge. There will be now 1,000 heroes, and I think this is referring to, you know, the hero with 1,000 faces or whatever, the Joseph Campbell story. They're saying now there's going to be new heroes, new myths. And where will we derive these from? Well, says, turns out there's similarities between the Bhagavad Gita and the Bible. So why don't we have combined religious texts, texts that sort of blend them all together? You know, we had Noah Yuval Harari, for example, saying that there will be silicon sages that will walk around and they'll be better than any single religious text because they'll have all the religious texts on hand. They'll be able to just sort of spit them out, right? And why not have that AI God as your new God versus, oh, you think everything is just in the Bible? Oh, you follow the Quran? Oh, you just follow one book, bro? I follow all of the books that my silicon sage spits out. So the reason for this, as they note, is that society will not work without a new myth, without a new image, without a new story. And that mythology, they're saying, has to be shaped and crafted by the social engineers, the noble lie of Plato, exactly as we said, right? To create a myth and a story and a narrative that the establishment wants. this new paradigm will emerge from the old, but it will discard all of the elements that don't fit with the new coming technocratic society. It goes on to say that psychic abilities perhaps will be developed. We'll have this sort of new consciousness based around psychic abilities. Movies, cinema, and music will be replaced with the synthetic, it says. This is also sort of Brave New World stuff. And this is where the book gets very bizarre, because it starts to move into kind of, it's halfway warning that this might happen, but as a lot of these elite texts do, kind of like with Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society, says, well, you know, we don't want the dystopia, but here's the ways that we could get to a total technocratic dystopia. So it's like halfway a warning, but also halfway saying, but then again, you know, this might just be where we need to go. In order to get to the technocratic society, and they're also kind of just discussing what they think will occur, not necessarily what has to occur. They said there are some bright spots in terms of where the progress is going and moving. It says on page 158 that we will notice that amongst the youth, and especially amongst bookstores, now notice bookstores are going away. They're filled with toys and Funko Pops and the scent of ass. There's no more bookstores. But in the 1980s, bookstores were interested in yoga, health, occult, extrasensory processes, psychic powers, divination, esoteric wisdom. And he says that will tell you that that's where society is going if you just look at the popular books and the popular trends. In fact, it says population growth is on the decline. And this is good because environmental awareness is now growing. New legislation is being considered that might promote holistic views of society. For example, there's a recent bill on national growth policies. We're talking about pushing austerity and pushing the limitation of having children. Now, this didn't ever happen, but they were trying to push this back in the 1980s. Increasing numbers of technical symposia and ad hoc groups are being formed on the basis of survival-motivated transformation. In other words, world order, aka the Club of Rome. So they're citing the Club of Rome as the model, the blueprint, it says, for a future austerity-based, controlled technocratic society that limits how many children you can have, that reduces population drastically on the basis of saving the environment. In order to get there, they say that we got to move away from ideas of rational-based living, living your life with critical thinking, and instead moving towards transformational discovery through irrationally based experiences. In other words, the Dionysian shamanic initiation approach. And as you can see here from the Olympics, this is exactly the world that Changing Images of Man envisioned and planned for. Future shocks, as Alvin Toffler talked about, future shock is cited here in the book, as well as other elite texts that we've mentioned in the past. But this is where it really gets crazy. And I was even surprised to see this after, this is the next chapter that talks about societal choices and consequences and the new image that they're going to create, right? So what is the new image of man that Changing Images of Man puts forward? Well, it says at the beginning of this chapter, this is kind of ironic that they would admit this. It is not possible to prove one image of humankind is ultimately better or more valid than any other image. Well, now, wait a minute. Then why are you trying to give us a new image of man if you can't prove that it's any better than the other ones? So they're sort of giving the game away when they admit that it's all based on pure subjectivism and relativism. Nothing's actually true. And this is, they begin this chapter by quoting Alvin Toffler in Future Shock. And wait a minute. If nothing is actually provable or true, then how can you actually say that nothing is provable or true? So there's actually a very fundamental contradiction from the outset of this book. But what would we expect from a book that tells us that we're not going to be functioning on the basis of logic and reasoning, and we're not going to worry about contradicting anymore? We're just going to be initiatory. We're going to accept the contradictions. We are going to create, it says, a polarized dialectic, an idealized polarity out of which perhaps we will get a future synthesis, it says on page 164. And I was, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. Polarized dialectical synthesis. Where have we heard this before? Oh, that's actually an old alchemical idea. That's actually what we read about in Kabbalah. And if you doubt me on that, the most famous philosopher of this immanence idea that God is just all of reality and process, well, there was a famous philosopher named Hegel who influenced people like Karl Marx very heavily. And it turns out Hegel was a Hermeticist. Hegel and the Hermetic tradition. See that? Well, who influenced Hegel for his process philosophy and that all reality is just God in motion, in process? Well, this is an academic text, not a conspiracy text. Professor Glenn McGee states, this is citing Hegel, God is God only insofar as he has knowledge of himself. His self-knowledge is self-consciousness in man and man's knowledge of God. All of these are self-knowledge in God. So God is man and is knowledge and is all process, basically. And God is working himself out dialectically in historical process, according to Hegel, getting this from Jacob Boehme and from the Kabbalists. It says, alchemy, Hermes Trismegistus, the thrice great Hermes, Kabbalah, Raymond Lull, Meister Eckhart, and Nicholas of Cusa all became influential thinkers that helped to develop Hegel's Hermetic occult philosophy. But again, it's also out of, as we said, the Kabbalah. One of the elements of the Kabbalah is not just, you know, the tree of the Sephiroth or whatever, which is actually just borrowed from Neoplatonism. There's also the idea of the two pillars of Jachin and Boaz, which are supposedly the two pillars of, you know, Solomon's temple. These are the two polarities. These are mercy and severity. And then you have the sort of middle path in between these two polarities. But people don't think about this Kabbalistic idea as also something that can relate to the control of society. Two-party system, fake left and fake right. Do you want this goblin or that goblin, right? It's another version of this. The French Revolution, which was heavily influenced by Platonism, Pleithon, and Baruch Spinoza. Spinoza was a pantheist, and Spinoza also would have been aware of these Kabbalistic ideas in his pantheism. And what do we get out of the French Revolution? The fake left-right dialectic of politics, literally. It's no longer about virtue and vice, what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false. It's left or right, two sides of a relativistic dialectic. And it is always, even back to that time, been a control system. Do you want liberal revolution or conservative revolution? The American system comes out of the right-wing revolution, the Girondins. They were sitting on the right side of the provisional government in France when the revolutionaries set up a provisional government. The Jacobins sat on the left side of the provisional government, hence right and left. Do you want to be Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, or do you want to be Adam Weishaupt and communists over here on the left? They're both revolutionary forces. Thus, all classical liberalism is still part of the liberal ethos, the Enlightenment ethos. It is part of this dialectic. And that's why nothing ever changes as long as we just keep pushing more liberalism, more classical liberalism, more classical liberalism. You need more than just liberalism and negative freedom. You also need a positive worldview and paradigm to ground people in something beyond just GDP. Okay, people want and need, even Plato record, even if you believed atheism, even if you believed the Platonic noble lie view, Plato had enough insight into human nature to realize that humans need religious narratives. So the classical liberal narrative doesn't offer that. So really what's at the root of the split with MAGA isn't just the question of the relationship of Israel. That's part of it. But it's also the only tolerable discourse, going back to William F. Buckley, has been the idea that you have to be a classical liberal to be a conservative. And all of the older paleocons were pushed out by design by people like William F. Buckley from the CIA to make libertarianism now the new conservatism. Thus, the values are subdued and sublimated to the economic positions. So now you can have all the butt stuff, do all that, and you're conservative. Big Ten conservatism. But there's a reaction now against that. And it's not just about the relationship of Israel and the U.S. government. That's part of it. But people like Dinesh D'Souza, who, by the way, is too scared to actually debate me. He won't have a full-on debate. He just keeps running, talking nonsense. None of these people will actually come and debate their positions, which is telling. And even when he tries to debate, he gets demolished by Nick Fuentes. So he can't actually do anything to prop up this older boomer classical liberal stuff, which is going away. And that's absolutely tied into the Zionist Christian dispensational stuff. That stuff's dying. That's really what's going on with the MAGA civil war. It's much bigger than the nation state of Israel. And I'm not a Christian nationalist, although I do believe that ultimately in the long run, we could get to the ideas of Christian principles in government. All of the history of the Christian church, from the Christianization of the Roman Empire all the way up until the Enlightenment and the Protestant Reformation, even into the Protestant Reformation, you had Christian principles in the state. That's the only way to stop things like radical Islam. You can't beat it on a secular basis because they don't have a secular ethos. They don't care about your libertarian civic nationalism principles. You need more than that. And only Orthodox Christianity has survived with that pre-modern ethos. That's why it's attracting people. It's not a mystery. It's not, oh, I don't know why people are converted to Orthodoxy, because the papacy is fake and gay. They're out there promoting, the Pope just had a giant trans dinner. So nobody wants that. That's why underneath the Pope's tweets, it's tens of thousands of people calling him out on the hypocrisy. That's why the neocons are saying it's time to go after Orthodox Christians in America, because they're assets of Putin, just a continuation of the Russia collusion nonsense, which already collapsed. That's what's going on. And it's not hard to see that that's what's going on. Now, that doesn't mean that we will necessarily get out of this or fix this. Why? Well, there's a deeper, darker plan that I could not believe was in this book. I can't believe they actually say this, how the level of crazy that this gets to. And again, it's almost like they're kind of halfway warning about it, but it's kind of like they're saying, well, you know, we might not get 1984 and we don't want that, but let's go with the Brave New World, you know, happiness, drugs, and sex model over the, you know, 1984 model. How about that? Because we're going to have a dystopia. It's kind of like, look, we're going to have a dystopia. We all know that. Do you want Soma and butt stuff, or do you want to be in a cell with Victory Gin and Victory Sigs? Well, you want butt stuff, of course, right? So that's the whole future, is just putting stuff in your butt. That's all there is. Life is nothing but putting things in butts. That's it. That's all that matters. Like wanting seed, right? Before it gets to this really damning admission section, the book says, look, here are some of the principles for the future evolutionary transformational image of man. That's their idea. They call the new image is the, quote, evolutionary transformationalist image of man. That's the new image of man that they're pushing. Okay, what is that? Well, Lockean man, John Locke, is a man in the pre-social condition of the human being that was that was not mutually hostile, but mutually tolerant. So we need tolerance. Well, that's really hot take there with the wild tolerance, right? Next, humanistic capitalism. This is like stakeholder capitalism or whatever the Rothschilds recent, they had some new branding of capitalism, which was basically just Davos capitalism. They were writing about it back in 1982. That will replace the idea of economic growth capitalism. Religiously, perennial philosophy and the all religions are a manifestation of the one out of Huxley. The no borders idea of no territoriality. So just like private property is bad, having a nation with borders is bad. So we're going to get rid of borders, exactly what the Pope's calling for. We will plumb the depths of the traditional lore of primitive cultures to create a religion that fosters an ecological ethic. No borders, no territories. That's classical libertarianism too, by the way. And a systems holistic ethic where everybody is linked into a giant collective. Now, that's not the crazy part. That's just what the image of the new man is, a kind of a techno shaman, sort of like a festival bro is what they're talking about here, right? But what about the possibility of this turning into what they call technocracy fascism or techno-urban fascism? We might call this the possibility of a friendly fascism. It will be 100% American, and it will be based around advanced technology, techno-urban fascism, American style. Ultimately, this will be not in any conflict with post-industrial society because they want to go to a post-industrial society. It will, in fact, be pluralistic in nature. Techno-urban fascism does not need a charismatic dictator. It doesn't need a single-party rule for politics. It doesn't need a fascist party. It doesn't need elections. It doesn't need any of the old models. Instead, everything will be planned, all areas of life planned, including the economy, including your day-to-day life, politics, society, culture, everything planned via the technocrat. And thus, it's not so much about a top-down control as it is everything managed. So it's a lateral control by algorithms and AI. And it goes on to say, yeah, it looks like we could actually run into a Brave New World scenario. For example, there might evolve a social credit score. There might be the application of military surveillance technologies to all areas of life and urban police, urban policing becoming militarized. The utilization of behavior-changing drugs and operant conditioning from school age onward, drugging the youth. That, by the way, that applies to trans as well because they drug them and sterilize them in that as well. Government control of the news. Personality screening to determine the possibility of pre-delinquent children on the basis of genetics. Interesting. Cross-correlation of computer-based files on every human being and their personal data. So total tracking and tracing. The introduction and legislation of controlled access to self-initiated alteration of consciousness through the legalization of drugs. So, Brave New World. You get your soma, you get your mind control, you get your technocracy, but you're going to be happy. You'll own nothing, but you'll be happy. Be sure and go to the Alex Jones store and get that methylene blue, which I'm a big fan of, all those great products, and the Alex Jones show.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart. It removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding. Alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it. Now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's great. I love how everybody in the InfoWars audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? You talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
Oh, one more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is you know I can go. I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like methyl drive and power plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the biggest, some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is we've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures you're used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigly.
Again, thank you so much. Check out thealexjonesstore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.